This is Neil Whiteside.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, on Sunday, it was the Bridge the Gap walk. It was a lovely day, and over 2,000 walkers did the 4.3-mile walk around the university grounds here in Cambridge, ending up at the Museum of Zoology. I'm joined in the studio by two people who did that walk. I've got Lorna and Angela McGrath. Hello, welcome to you both.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing? All right?
Not too bad.
Thank you.
Good, good, good. So you've kind of got a link. You've had a reason to do the Bridge the Gap walk, which we'll talk about in a second. But actually, Angela, you're working with the co-op, which was a huge supporter of Bridge the Gap this year.
Yeah, they did ask. Well, they sent an email to all the shops to say, do you want to come and support us? And I sent one back out. I'm sorry, I'm actually doing the walk, so I can't. So
that's the trouble we get year in, year out with Bridge the Gap, is people volunteer and help us out. And then the next year you go, well, I think I'd quite like to do that. So we have to go and get new volunteers. What did you think to the walk this year?
It was really good. It was really interesting. And yeah. I'm amazed how much greenery there is in Cambridge, because you...
It is, isn't it? It's all little secret oases. Yeah. You think, well, it's all, you know, quite heavily built
gardens,
up. But it's not. There's all these gardens.
Beautiful, weren't they?
Yeah.
And the trick as well, I mean, not about your garden, but my garden took an absolute hammering during the summer with the drought.
I don't even have a garden.
So. Yeah, do not. But a lot of the university gardens, they're fed by boreholes. So they're able to keep watering, and it's great. And they're not taking it from, it's their own water, they can do it. And it's great because they were really lush, weren't they? So.
Yeah, lovely. And the flowers were lovely. I took my camera, I took lots and lots of pictures.
So.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, it is a real treat, and I recommend anybody to do the Bridge the Gap walk. And did you go to the Museum of Zoology as well?
Yeah,
we did. We took a look around there, didn't we?
Yeah.
So. Kids loved it.
It's great been time. Redone, and it's extraordinary. It takes museums to a whole new level now. Suddenly it's, skeletons are exciting again now. They just were getting dusty back in the day, but they've kind of worked it all out. All right, now you were doing the Bridge the Gap walk for a reason. Tell us about that.
Well, sadly, in June the 10th, we lost my son and Lorna's brother to terminal cancer, stomach cancer.
Right.
And he was in the hospice and passed away, sadly, in the hospice, and they were absolutely fantastic. They were the angels without wings, as I call them.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they couldn't do enough for us. Daniel loved being in there. He felt so supported. He hated being in, he was in hospital for a long time before that, and he hated being in Addenbrookes. And as soon as he came to the hospice, he was so relaxed.
How old was he?
He's 21.
Okay, okay. And so you decided to do Bridge the Gap to support Arthur Rank?
Yeah, because they've done so much for us. They were absolutely fantastic, and we'd stay up there all the time. And
it genuinely seems like there's nothing too much trouble, is
no.
it? There is, and it's amazing. It's a love. The new hospice at Shelford Bottom is absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, one of the nurses even came to Daniel's funeral. She was that touched by. Because he was one of the youngest patients that ever passed away there, so she actually even come to his funeral, because she touched him that much, and they were fantastic. And she keeps in touch with Lorna to see how we're doing.
Really, because that's the trouble, isn't it? Often when a loved one dies, well, that's just the start of your journey, really, isn't it? Once you've said goodbye, it's now recovering, and it's recovery for you.
It has been the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It feels like somebody's ripped a part of me, and a part of me is missing.
And cancer's just a horrible thing.
Yeah, it is, and especially Daniel's cancer. It's classed as an old man's cancer. He was one of the... There's only, 10 people in the UK his age that had this cancer.
Okay. All right. So, but you're deciding, like all these things, you decide you're going to make a positive. You're telling me he kind of held you to a promise before he went. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I used to stay with him up in the hospice, and there'd just be me and him up there every night time, and I'd be like, oh, well, I really want to do something for the hospice. When you've gone down, and he's like, oh, you can go for a walk more. You like walk? And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. He goes, you can walk to Liverpool. And I was like, oh, yeah, all right. And thinking, he had a long time, so I'd have lots of time to practice. And then he died quite quickly. And then before he died, he's like, don't forget about my walk, Mum. You've got to do my walk.
Oh, no. So that's it now. You've committed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So did you rope Lorna in, or how did this work?
Well, I mentioned it to Lorna. She's like, oh, well, I'll do it with you. And I was like, okay.
Now it's getting closer. I'm like, bit scared, but...
You'll be fine.
But we're doing it for Daniel. That's the thing that's going to be in my mind when it gets really hard and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to think of Daniel and how brave he was during his cancer. Now, much it didn't let him affect him. He was still laughing and joking right to the end.
Is that right? Tell me your Stephen Gerrard story. That was wonderful.
When we first moved down here 11 years ago, he convinced everybody in his class and school that he was Stephen Gerrard's son.
Because he's got the accent, right?
Yeah. So everyone believed him because he was Scouse, obviously.
Yeah, and then for months and months afterwards, I was getting calls and emails from Mrs. Gerrard, and I'm like, who the bloody hell's this? It was only when I went into parents' evening and his teacher, Mrs. Collins, told me, and I was like, oh my God, no.
Oh dear. All right, so it's a walk back home then for you, really.
It is a walk back home. It's from the off rank to Anfield, his beloved Anfield, which...
So you're going to end up actually at the stadium?
At the stadium, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so talk us through this walk. How long is it going to take and how are you going to do it?
Well, we're starting off the off rank on the 28th of March, which is the day 2 year Daniel got diagnosed.
Right.
We've planned the route up to Corby as yet. My husband is going to do the rest, because he's a sergeant in the reserve forces, so he's used to doing route marches, so he's going to...
Yeah. Is that clearly the best person to get you two working, isn't he? No. He's not going to take prisoners on this, is he?
No, he's quite determined, because that's his part.
He's going to get you there, isn't he?
He's going to get us there. We're just going to do the walking. So
I think we need that kind of strong... motivation today.
Yeah. Someone standing behind you shouting. Yeah. What's the I mean, you're doing this in March, so how much are you going to be doing every day? How is it, a distance or 12, a time?
12 miles a day.
No, 12 hours a day.
12 hours a day.
Roughly about between 25 and 30 miles a day.
Yeah.
Crikey.
We're planning to walk.
Okay.
But we're quite fit and we've done this kind of thing before. Not as big as this, but we have done it before, so
So you know the challenges that an endurance walk takes. Because I mean, you're going to be, as we were saying, you're going to be, if you're doing a 12-hour walk in March, you're going to be starting in the dark and finishing in the dark, really, aren't you? And that in itself is going to be hard to get up in the morning and go another day.
I'm used to getting up in the morning. I have to be at work for 6 o'clock in the morning,
and I've got
you've got two kids.
Getting up early is not
it's not a problem.
You've picked a prime time to do it.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
All right. And so, what training are you doing for this? Or are you saying that basically you're all ready to go?
We're basically ready.
Yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of walking. Everywhere we go, we walk, which we always have done. So. Now the weather's getting a bit cooler, we're going to build up the walks. So we're doing a fair amount of walking.
Yeah.
I guess in that way, March is a good time to go, isn't it? Because the weather should be be fairly spring-like.
Yeah.
You don't want it like it was a few weeks ago. It's so hot here, you'd be in real trouble. You need it to be walking weather, don't you?
Yeah, so it's going to be... I've looked ahead at the weather in March, roughly, and it is going to be not too hot, not too cold, which is just the right weather for walking.
There's going to be a few hills in the way. I mean, you've been practising around Cambridge. Can I just point out? It's reasonably flat around here.
We are from Liverpool, and there is a lot of hills in Liverpool.
All right, so you're used to that.
Yeah.
Okay, and are you going to be joined along the way by friends or family or anything like that?
Family members from Liverpool and friends from Liverpool are going to meet us possibly round Runcorn Way to walk back with us. So
the final bit, the toughest bit, which will be that bit where you're on the horizon, as you say,
the
spires of Liverpool on the horizon, you're thinking, but I'm not there yet. That last bit will be a big push.
We've got family members that are coming to
And we've got loads of support here in Cambridge. Like, everyone's going to be watching.
A big send-off.
Everyone's going to be supporting us. So.
Oh, how lovely. How much have you got in mind, a figure you'd like to raise?
I said about £2,000. That's what I'd like to aim for.
That would be good, because people don't realise that Arthur Rank, it's £8 million a year it takes to run that place. And they do get some NHS funding, but I think they're about £4 million short every year.
Yeah.
So every January, they've got, get the buckets out again, out we go, start shaking.
Yeah.
So a couple of grand, crikey, that's money well used.
When Daniel was in the hospice, we raised about £2,000, didn't we, on GoFundMe, which helped them out a lot.
Yeah,
so.
That was for him to do his bucket list, but sadly he passed away before he had a chance to do it. So the money that was donated for that, we went to the hospice.
Because
if it can help even just one person...
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know that it's going to be used well there, don't you?
Yeah,
know it's going to be well used. Okay, so if people want to support you, have you got sort of Just Giving and things set up, or is that not quite yet?
Not quite yet. We're going to do that after Christmas, but we're both on Facebook, so if anybody wants to send us a message with support or anything, we'll be gratefully received, and we'll always answer your messages. And
excellent.
And we're going to do a blog. Well, I've started a blog for each bit of the journey, so there will be a blog up and... wherever we'll stop the night, it's going to be, I'll upload pictures and...
Feet up, glass of wine and write a blog. Yeah. That's going to be the best bit of it, isn't it, at the end of every day?
Yeah, and then we'll have to do it all again.
And Lorna, are you taking the kids with you then, or how does this work?
No, this is my break. This is my holiday. This will be my nice little holiday, so...
Excellent. All right, well, look, please do keep in touch. You've already followed us on Facebook and we're going to get you to follow us on Twitter and things like that. You've got our email address, so nearer the time, come back in and tell us about it. Yeah. Are you needing any more? You're saying that your husband's on this and he's sorted. This route is sorted.
Yeah.
Is there anything you need?
Well, any help with him doing the route march would be great because he's one man on his own doing 175 route march. So any support in any way would be fantastic. Doesn't matter how little, how big. It doesn't matter, just any help.
So if you're driving around at the moment thinking, I can help, then if you just message us here in the studio, 07919 070490 or studio@cambridge105.co.uk. Those details are on our website if you're driving along thinking, I can't write that down. That's fine. They're in our studio. If you send them through to us, we'll forward them through to you.
That'd be great.
Andrew and Lorna, that's great. So keep in touch. I'm glad you enjoyed Bridge the Gap. That's good. Unsolicited testimonial. That's what we like to hear. And that date again?
We're starting off on the 28th of March.
Okay, and do you have a target finish date?
Roughly about 5 to 7 days, depending on weather and everything, but it's roughly going to take us about a week to do.
Excellent. All right, well, that all sounds really very good. We wish you a lot of luck. I'm glad you enjoyed it, as I say. Thank you for taking part in Bridge the Gap. I mean, that on its own looks like it's raised over £30,000 for the two charities, Arthur Rank and Romsey Mill. And over its 17 years, it'll be £500,000 now. So, for what you did on Sunday, thank you very much, because that's already done a huge amount for Arthur Rank and Romsey Mill.
Romsey Mill did a lot for Daniel when he was at school as well.
Really?
So... It was two fine charities.
So you did well to support them. So thank you. And we'll keep in touch and we'll see you off on your way in March. You've got to have a nice Christmas. You won't be eating too much of that turkey then.
Not too much Christmas pud.
No.
Anyway. All
right, lovely. Well, Lorna, Angela, thank you for coming in. Angela, please give our love to everybody at Co-op as well. And thank them for all their help at the Bridge to Gap Walk. And Lorna, lovely to meet you too.
Thank you. Keep us posted
and we'll see what's your journey with interest. That's Lorna and Angela McGrath. They're taking part in a walk to Liverpool, 175 miles, starting the 28th of March next year.